Many of you know that I'm from New York. Not that you could figure that out from my accent. But born and raised just outside of New York City, and my parents still living there today. And growing up, I became a great fan of the New York Yankees. And many of you know that as well, the past stories I've told. And there's even some bantering that goes on between us during this time of the year in the Narthex on Sundays as the Red Sox fans go by and we kind of banter with each other, even though the Yankees are 5 games behind the Red Sox right now. But we'll see how that ends up in October, when it really counts. But I'm a fan of the Yankees, and you may know this past year, the Yankees built a new stadium, a new Yankee stadium, at a cost of, I think it was about $1.3 billion, $1.3 or $1.6. But what's $300 million? It's an incredible amount of money. I can't even imagine that amount of money. And as they've moved into this new stadium, the Yankee management has priced some of the seats. And the seats right behind home plate are some of the most expensive seats in the ballpark. And my understanding is they go for over $2,000 for one seat. If you watch games at Yankee Stadium on TV, recently you'll notice that a lot of the seats behind home plate are empty. They're not selling as well. And the Yankee management is rather concerned and are reviewing their whole pricing of their seats. But there's one place in Yankee Stadium where I think the real fans sit. And it's in the area called the bleachers. And the bleachers are those seats out in right field. And those seats, I understand, I think I have this correct, are about $12. $2,000, $12, see the same ballgame. But the people sitting out in the bleachers are, in many ways, I think, the real fans of the Yankees. Many of those $2,000 seats might be for people who fly in from out of town or corporations hosting people. But the fans of the Yankees, I think, tend to sit in certainly in those bleachers. There are people who oftentimes probably live in the Bronx, live in the area not far from Yankee Stadium, take the subway in, and show up at the stadium and buy their ticket. There's no reservations needed. You just show up and walk in. The bleacher crowd is a special, unique group. And there's a guy who sits in the bleachers. His name is Vinny. And Vinny is known for something he does at the beginning of each home game. As the Yankees take the field for the first inning, Vinny gets up and gets the bleacher crowd to support him. He starts to yell out the names of each Yankee on the field. He yells out their names. He starts this cheer. He calls them by name. So he'll stand up and he looks out of left field and he starts yelling, Johnny Damon, Johnny Damon, Johnny Damon. The whole bleachers, Johnny Damon. And eventually Johnny Damon will turn and does one of these things. He kind of points at them and acknowledges them. They all yell, cheer, yell. They go to the center fielder, and then the right fielder, and they go to the infield, and Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter. And Jeter's a shortstop. He'll turn and acknowledge the bleacher crowd. And if you watch the game, sometimes at the beginning of the game, you'll see the players kind of turning towards the bleachers, and that's what they're doing. They're responding to this cheer all the way into the catcher, Jorge Posada, yelling out, Jorge Posada, Jorge Posada. And he waves and cheers. The whole crowd goes berserk. It's before the game's even started. Vinny was once interviewed, and he was asked why he does this. What is this all about before the game has even started? And Vinny's response was this. He said, a lot of fans cheer when stuff happens. We cheer to make stuff happen. A lot of people cheer when stuff happens. We cheer to make stuff happen. I would suggest to you that is a theological statement. This sense of cheering, what they're saying is, we love you, we care for you, you're our team, we're calling forth your gift, we're calling forth your talent, we want to see you play your best. And the cheering starts before the game even starts. They don't have to earn the cheer. They don't have to do stuff to earn those cheers. It's freely given. Freely given. How difficult it is for us to accept that in our spiritual journey, to accept that in our spiritual lives, that God's grace, God's love, is freely given. We don't have to do stuff to earn that. But rather, God shapes us and forms us and blesses us to be who we are. And nourishes us and strengthens us and calls forth the best in us. We have such a difficult time accepting that. In my 30 years of being a priest, I think that's the one thing that I found people sometimes find so difficult to accept. That we don't have to earn this. That God's love is freely given. Like Vinny gives to those players on the field. Freely given. It's why when we read through the scriptures, it's why Jesus rejoices in forgiveness. It's why God always rejoices in forgiveness. When we can begin to let go of the things that are preventing us from seeing ourselves as God sees us. God sees who we truly are, and sometimes we have a difficult time seeing that. It's often been said that God is closer to us than we are to our very selves. And so when we seek forgiveness, when we seek healing, God is saying to us, thank you. Thank you. Maybe now you can begin to see what I see. Begin to see who you are. To open up and live this life that I've created for you. And to be fully who you are. In today's gospel today, we see some example of this. That we see two healings in this reading, in this gospel. One combined in another. First of all, there's this woman who has this difficulty with bleeding. For 12 years she has bled. And she seeks healing from Jesus. And this healing that she receives is not just some physical healing, but she's reunited with her community. This bleeding that she's experiencing makes her undefiled, makes her untouchable, makes her an outcast to the community. So this healing is not just about something physical, but it's about becoming one again with a community that in many ways had treated her as an outcast, and they're able to welcome her again. And this raising of this little girl, this Jairus' daughter, it's very difficult for us in our time to wrap our arms around these miracle stories. It's very difficult at times. Perhaps in adult education we can talk more about these miracle stories and what they mean. But for our purposes today, what we see is Jesus walking into this home and raising this girl from what was seen to be death. And this is a puzzling part of the story. Jesus turns to those around him and says, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. The whole town knows that she just died, and now they're going to see her walking around. And Jesus' line is, don't tell anybody. But I would suggest to you one reason for that is, Jesus is relating to her in the way that the way Jesus relates to many kinds of people. When we meet someone for the first time, see if you can feel this in the depth of your heart. When we meet someone for the first time or enter into a relationship with somebody, how often we want to show that person our best side. How often we want that person to kind of walk away thinking, boy, am I lucky to have met me. You know, we want to somehow impress somebody. We want them to see our best side. I would suggest to you that when Jesus encountered people, when Jesus met somebody, he wanted to show them their best side. Jesus wanted to walk away from that relationship knowing that person saw in themselves something they hadn't seen before Jesus walked in. And in many ways, that's what he's doing in this story of raising Jairus' daughter. It's not about Jesus. It's about this girl. He's called her to life, called her to the fullness of life. Jesus does that all the time throughout the scriptures, calling forth things, calling forth who we are. Pulling forth that stuff. Jesus isn't waiting for us to do stuff to earn that love. And how often we find that difficult to do. We find it very difficult to do. In our lives, in our families, in our parish community, in our work world, in our neighborhoods. And I would suggest to you today, if we can take something from these readings and take something from Vinny, to look at each other and find the best in each other. Reach out to each other and call forth the best. You know, oftentimes in parish life, boy, do we know each other's weaknesses. And we can pick on those and know those.
But what if we were to just be like them?
And be like God. And be like Jesus. And call forth the best. See the best. Cheer on the best. Nourish the best. Make this a community of faith where we call forth our gifts from each other and cheer each other on and create an incredible faith community that goes forth into the world, creating an incredible world. Because when we do that, if we can truly do that, stuff will happen. Stuff will happen. And some of that stuff is living into the kingdom of God and making that kingdom a reality here within our world. Stuff can happen, and we can do it.